You are listening to a production of the Toll Network, home of biting analysis. This is UncommonCast RX-156, Bold as Love.
I'm Caleb, the thesis-seeking critic. Do I red?
I'm Amit, the heart-smacking critic. Do I pink?
I'm Sono, and I'm not ready for this show to be over.
Well, we've got one more, at least.
And some movies, I'm still not ready.
Putting Heroes on Trial.
Critical Squadron. Duet Ranger.
Okay, wow, can I do this by memory? I don't know, we'll see. Join us as we take a critical eye to Kamen Rider Ghost. Will Takeru save himself and the Kamen Rider franchise in the one day he has left remaining on this blue planet? Find out as we pass judgment on Kamen Rider Ghost 49, Infinite, The Power of People.
Our writer was Fukuda Takuro. Our director was Murata Satoshi. This should surprise no one because this is the last episode and there are leads.
They better be on it.
Yeah. All right, so then let's get into it. Amit, we'll start with you this time round. What are your thoughts about this episode and what messages came into focus for you?
Okay, so... One of my favorite lines from anything ever is Misato Katsuragi's admonition that acts of men are better than acts of God in Neon Genesis Evangelion Episode 7. A human work, that's what it's called. It's about that Jet Alone Evangelion knockoff, which, ironically, there are like a bunch of anime Evangelion knockoffs, but anyway, don't need to talk about those. I feel like this is a bit of what is being said here, and I love it, the acts of men are better thing. Full disclosure, I am not only a spiritual person, I am also religious, and the faith I connect to stresses human action and responsibility for people doing their part and duty to make the world better. There's a technical term for it, even. Anyway, there was a fall from grace, and now it's my responsibility to... responsibility to do all that is within my power to make the world perfect again, and all depend on the Almighty to do their part in response to my good faith efforts. Of course, no individual can change the world alone, but there is a lot of merit in acting as if that is the case, in my opinion. There is a Talmudic passage that says when the Creator sees someone going out of their way to do a kindness, that, like, they don't really have to do, he would say, for this moment alone, it was worth creating the world. I feel like the message here, is really to fight tooth and nail to overcome adversity and self-doubt and act with love and kindness toward yourself and others. You should really be yourself, and in that you will find fulfillment and wholeness, and you will truly, live through connecting and, by walking that path.
Okay, yeah. For me, I kind of fell back on some Bokenger and Forze morals, which is high praise. Just kind of in your darkest hour, you're not alone. No matter how bad something seems, you've always got people behind you. And they'll help you, and they'll help you be strong. And it's about pulling together against the impossible, and even if it all did come down to Takeru at the end, it never felt like it was just about him. He was kind of always surrounded by his heroes, and by his family, and by his friends, and their faith in him was always what allowed him to get up and fight on. I'm really proud of Ghost and the story that it's kind of steered us through and this conclusion that it's left us with. And it's been great feeling emotionally invested in Kamen Rider again, because it's been a while. And I mean, thankfully we still have a handful of movies before we say goodbye to these kids, because I'm not ready to let go of them.
Yeah, I'm really on the same page, because I'm going to miss this show, y'all. Like, I'm going to miss it like burning, because this is one of those ones where you just want to look up all tear-stained and to sort of be the other side of Amit's coin, to do that Kamen Rider Spirits line, even if there were no God or Buddha, you can still believe in Kamen Rider. Like, yeah, man, this is this is one of the ones I get down with, because like, he doesn't want to destroy, he doesn't want to hurt anyone, he doesn't want to be the big hero or the super god, he just wants to help people understand one another, and for that understanding to spark transformations, which are, in their way, as spectacular, if not more so, than the one where he turns into a hoodie-wearing firefly-headed skeleton. Like, the ultimate weapon posited here isn't anything but giving people a chance to surprise you. If you help people out of whatever their darkness is and show them how much better it is to cooperate than to dominate, to heal than to harm, there's just no end to what can be done. And then they just close it off with the bit where he's the rider who's going to be here for you and yours, and I'm a big sucker for that sort of thing. There's, at the end of Batman Brave and the Bold? It was the most recent Batman cartoon they did. Batman, just at the end of the show, is just like, hey, don't worry, boys and girls. Even though you can't see me anymore, I'm still out there fighting the good fight to protect the innocent. And, like, every time I go back and watch it, it makes me tear up a little. Also, look, the design on the Great Eye Rider thing, like, I thought it was cool last episode, but, man, it is sick. Just holy dang, y'all.
Hello there, listener. This is Amit popping in from the future to let you know that Cannibal Sarsinian was late to this episode, and he popped in and did not, there was a problem with the mic. So his audio is cut out, so I cut out, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 minutes, and then he just randomly appears there. So expect to hear Cannibal pretty soon. I guess let's just go ahead and move into Bones, right?
Yeah, I think so. You should start us off on this one.
Okay. So, I'm hitting hard and fast. Sorry, damn Breakfast Club in my mind. Get out of there, Emilio Estevez. Takaru's mom got so little screen time, and we don't even know her name. Honestly, I'm almost miffed, or I'm also miffed that she didn't pick Takaru's name or explain why she liked it. What does it mean anyway? It felt like it should have been significant, but it fell flat for me. Although I do place, like, a ton of value on names and choosing names and having, like, super, super legitimate reasons why. So, that's why I'm gonna name my fourth child, Ellipses.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Was that a joke or were you being
serious?
That's
totally a joke. And then okay. Number five is gonna be whoops.
Okay, I was...
Six will be again?
I want to be like... Wait, is that actually a name? Because, like, I've got a funny name, so I shouldn't laugh. But that was a good, that's a good joke.
I don't know. Aleph has meaning, and the reason your parents picked it is pretty boss. So, like, it's cool. My next thing is, like, how did Sage move his capsule into the Daitenku attic, and why did no one ever notice before? Blah, 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 nerdy, pedantic stuff. But here I am. And then my final thing, which I think is legit, is I wish the Divine Orb had been more of a hexagon or something else, but it looked neat overall, I guess. Maybe the six wings are supposed to, like, call to the fact that it was, like, a eyeball or an orb, a sphere, or whatever, inside of a hexagon. I don't know. This is really just grasping at straws to complain about stuff. But, I didn't like that part.
Right off the bat, I'm kind of upset that Arya didn't go with them to fight. I mean, I kind of understand, because, you know, final battle down to the three actual main riders of the show, and someone has to keep an eye on Godma World, and this lady's been alive for like a month or two, and hasn't actually gotten any food or sleep, and is probably hanging on by a thread. But, I mean, like, look, you gave her that amazing suit for like 5 minutes. Let her use it. Was not a big fan of the big CG Doom Cyclops, because it was not pleasant to look at.
It was really rough.
I know this isn't a Sentai, but just make a practical suit. I know you can. And, like, just use that if you're gonna have a giant humanoid monster. It would look so much better.
Good call.
But it was just so bad to look at. I'm real, real iffy on Javert jumping in for Elaine instead of Onari. Like, Javert's first act of good in this show was to protect Onari from Igor. And I feel like it would have kind of been this strong circle back to make his last quote-unquote good act protecting Onari from, you know, the big god miser Doom Cyclops. The moment still works because we have kind of this parallel between Javert and Elaine trying to adapt to being human and kind of going at it at really different paces and different ways of figuring it out. But so much of Javert's development has been centered on Onari and so little of it on Elaine that it felt a little off to me. I'm with Amit on the whole conclusion with Takeru's mom felt real weak. Not terrible, just, you know, like, they'd clearly had more planned and ran out of time, so they just kind of shoehorned it in. And, you know, not only that, they still kind of make it about Ryu. I expected it to at least be, like, Takeru's mom encouraging him the way that Ryu has, but it was just, like, this little flashback, and then Takeru talking to Ryu about his mother, and this poor woman doesn't even get a name.
That's rough, yeah.
Yeah. And then just Igor waking up, and he's just like, oh, love, and is touching his face, which is clearly invoking Akari. And no. No, I don't. Get back in your box. You're grounded for eternity. You're never allowed near her again. I ain't in for this.
No, yeah, that's legit, though. For my own part, like, I'm really with Amit on the Divine Orb and its six wings, because it all I could think, because, like, yeah, it's this beautiful moment, and it's the hero-villain power of the thing just going off into space to do its own thing, maybe hang out on Gaim World, who knows. But all I could think is, man, how's Harry ever going to catch that golden snitch?
That's what I thought.
It does look pretty much like that.
I'm glad it's
not
just me.
But it really, yeah, no. For all I love the design of Gon Rider, I'm really with folks on the big one-eyed devourer thing, just not working. Cannibal, that's a really good call though. On it's feels like sort of a callback to Great Leader, because once you said that, it's like boom in my head. So. I'm not sure it's meant. Yeah. 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 Let's see. The whole thing also kind of felt really rushed. Like, it's not like back at the start of the show where everything just felt dense and there's a lot of information being packed in. It's just that in this episode, everything except that big final confrontation just felt really like, okay, we gotta tick these boxes off real quick because we only got this and one more episode. Let's go. They also did a lot of stuff in the dialogue department in this episode that was really gilding the lily. Like, the one that sticks out the most is that you don't have to write Onari saying that this thing is scarier and more powerful than anything else. Like, it's looking at people and devouring them. We get it. and finally, like, I'm just going to round out. I'm just going to join everyone in doing the thing where attaching Takeru's mom to Ryu's memories. Again, like, it makes a kind of mechanical sense or whatever. But on a poetic level, it's like dropping a ton of bricks on the floor, and also on your foot. So yeah, it just did not hit as well as it could have, which I think is kind of the biggest criticism of this last episode for my part.
It was a bit of a beautiful mess.
Yeah, oh yeah, like, look, this is... Of all the things, and we'll get into this more in the post-mortem, but, like, I do want to say, like, of all the things that this show does wrong, it's the only reason it does them wrong is because it's reaching for so much. It's trying to do so much in this 1 year of story. Didn't quite hit the mark, but I'd really rather see a noble failure than something that doesn't even try.
More was just wrong-headed to begin with.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. ambition in service of terrible ideas is much worse.
God, I've seen so many things that are just like that. Not just in, like, you know, Kamen Rider, but with, like...
Look, you can say the Marvel movies, dude.
I mean, it's not even just the Marvel movies, but yeah, that... But yeah, that's definitely one example I can pull out. Like, damn. Yeah.
So do you have any major complaints for this episode?
Well, I think you guys went over a lot of the things that that need to be said. I think the rest of the stuff that I want to talk about, I'll kind of reserve for the post-mortem, because they kind of, I feel like they're kind of something that I want to talk about just overall, you know, the sort of flaw, okay. The sort of, like, you know, the pros and cons of the show.
I can dig that, yeah. All right, then, then let's move on to the things we liked in this episode, the womens, the things that made you say, whoa. Amit, start us off.
All right. Realizing that Icon God is a bit of an extreme take on Mugen, it feels, and I'm talking about, like, the small version, not the giant light ogre thing, cyclops, whatever. Like, it feels organic and fresh that they look so similar and have so many elements that are the same between the two of them, but the difference comes in execution. It works so well thematically and on a design level. So, I started noticing, like, oh, this thing's got, you know, hexagons paired into, like, an 8/infinity symbol on it in a couple places. Oh, wait, and so does Takaru in Mugen, and it made me really happy to see that that's where they had gone with it. I guess there's, like, different paths to infinity, if you want to take it that way. Okay, so Takaru being selfless to the end and getting rewarded for that was just so wonderful. Javert sacrificing himself and being able to come back along with the other encapsulated people and move forward with the lessons they've learned, was really sweet. And I hope we can see Sword Mom in a future movie. That'd be, like, super awesome if she was helping, you know,
yes,
Takaru sharpen his skills or something.
Yes.
We did see QB. So, like, Sword Mom.
No, I'm keeping
QB. Somewhere.
He's mine now.
Alright. The assembled heroic icons fighting alongside Takaru and sharing his philosophy with Gonmizer/Divine Eye Fusion was really cool. For some reason, Edison's line really sticks out to me, and I thought it was pretty good. I can't remember it now verbatim, but it was pretty cool. And, like, I feel badly about that, but, you know, this is the alternate universe that we're living in right now. So X-Aid looked pretty cool, and I loved his senpai's reaction to him. Like, I could just picture Makoto's face, you know, maybe one eye twitching a little as he marveled at what the heck X-Aid was with his, you know, fake helmet hair, and everything else. That bike was pretty cool, though. Like, that kind of made me happy.
I did like seeing the bike tricks, I'm not gonna lie.
All I could think after seeing that BMX was that one comedy sketch from Mitchell and Webb look, you know, the Angel Summoner and BMX Bandit, they're a crime-fighting duo, and it's like, you guys should Google Angel Summoner versus, not versus, and BMX Bandit. It's really hilarious, and
that sounds amazing.
It's very funny, and it also happens that, oh my god, Takaru is kind of just Angel Summoner in a sense, even looks like.
Yeah,
so it's like, oh man, it's like,
there's our movie war.
Yep. There's our movie war. Kamen Rider.
Okay, that's gonna be the joke. Now we'll download.
We're gonna
that
put that one in our back pocket.
Yeah, put that up as teaser trailer.
Kamen Rider movie war. Supremo, Angel Summoner versus BMX Bandit featuring the British comedians David Mitchell and Morgan Webb.
That can be the next commentary. so, My final thing, and the thing that made me possibly the happiest out of everything, was the uncanny Urisin being a cat. That delights me to no end.
It made everything make sense!
Yeah?
Everything about Urisin being a cat makes Urisin make sense. I'm like, yeah, okay. If any of my cats had, like, were able to pick things up and talk, this is exactly how they'd be. And man, that cat could act.
I know what you're saying. I think it sounds stupid to say, but it's true. It totally could.
There was some great acting from the cat. Like, even as everyone's coming back to the temple and Sage is standing there holding him and everyone's like, what's with the cat? And he's like, oh, this is Urisin. And like, Onari goes over and the cat like hisses at him and starts like messing with his clothes. And I'm like, yeah, that's Urisin. Yep. That's exactly Urisin's relationship with this man. Like, I don't know if that was just, like, a happy coincidence, or if they somehow got the cat to do that, but it was pretty perfect. And I basically lost it at that point. Shibuya and Naruto sleeping on the floor was adorable. Like, being woken up by, you know, Gon Rider. Being like, oh god, we probably should have stayed awake. We had one job. Not that they could have really done anything about it, but, you know. And Naruto's rose pajamas. Naruto's rose pajamas are the pinnacle of human potential. I thought Molgoth Xade was pretty fun. I'm actually really digging, like, the 60s Batman word effects on attacks that they have going. And I gotta admit, guys, I'm kind of warming up to Xade the more and more I continue to see bits of it. Like, the suits are still awful. And they're always going to be awful, but the show actually looks like it's kind of going to be kind of fun.
Well, here's how
I've heard.
So. And like, look, I'm down for something that's just dumb go on your level fun at this point in my life. I need
I've
it.
I've heard some worrisome things about like, the writer, though. But you know, whatever. Okay.
Don't care. Well, don't want to hear it.
But it's like,
yeah. Don't care. Just want this show to be fun. Want to go in with the highest hopes that I can. I really like the Gon Miser's whole, like, I'm God and your silly human emotions can't hurt me. It plays really well to the themes of the show and kind of the ideals that Adele forced into the Gon Miser as they gain sentience. My issues with the whole mom thing aside, Ryu holding, like, baby Takeru as his wife passes away is real strong, and is this real nice final parallel between Takeru and Adele when you hold it up against, you know, Adonis turning his back and walking away from his kids after his own wife's death. Like, man, Adele isn't even here anymore and they're still doing this. It was real good. I love Takeru making his stand in Ore. With all the 15 heroes fighting with him.
Yeah, fantastic.
Like, just then all of them kind of bearing their individual ideals and how they fit in with Takeru in the fight. And it just really boils down to, like, the strength of a raw individual soul. And just there's something real powerful about bringing down the final boss with the base form. I love that stuff. And again, especially since Ori just, that's Takeru's soul. And I think thematically, it works real well.
Hopefully we won't see all those weirdos who are going to complain about power levels again.
Don't care. Don't care.
You're going to. You can't get rid of them.
They can say whatever they want. I don't care. That's the thing. I do not care.
They can get wrong in that corner over there.
I also think there's something real sweet in Takeru being told, like, you're a god now. And I mean, like, yeah, but I want to go back to being a human anyway. And then something just really heartbreaking in the way that he's like, this is the only thing that I want. This is what I've been striving for, like, 6 months. But I gotta save all these other people instead. Like, he takes no satisfaction in being a god. He doesn't see himself as being a god. Like, he's just Takeru, and if he can help others, he will, at the expense of everything of his own. And, you know, I love that about him. And then just Takeru being hungry as a sign of being alive was so sweet and fit so thematically well with kind of the way they've handled people, like, becoming alive again. And, like, it was just so warm and charming, and I absolutely loved it. And also, I'm just gonna put Human QB in my pocket and leave. Like, he's mine now. Like, that, I'm keeping him.
Not that I have no problem with that.
I'm just saying he's mine now.
But to your previous point, like, I do remember once hearing, or rather reading, friend of the show Claire making an observation about how interesting and cool it is when it comes to your inhuman cyborg superheroes in Japan, or at the very least, Kamen Rider. The way they show that they've retained their humanity is not like, oh, hey, but can you still have sex? Or frenzied worries about, oh gosh, can I? But instead just like, okay, yeah, I'm hungry. I'd like to eat something. And that's, like, just the look on that kid's face as he's eating that onigiri with the bits of rice hanging off his mouth. Like, that's, it's like, yeah, dude, you earned that. No one has ever earned tasty food more than you have, kid.
It is actually kind of this, a little bit underrated sort of aspect about Kamen Rider that's very nice. It is kind of this relation with food, and then food kind of being like, you know, the thing that makes you sort of quote-unquote human, you know, because, and it makes sense because food is pretty universal, like, you know, sexual interests and, you know, those kind of things, like, not everyone's gonna experience that, but food, like, everyone eats food. And everyone, like,
Tachibana's gonna eat that spaghetti.
And it's like that, and it's like that's a good way to kind of, you know, display kind of what your humanity, you know, how, and we've seen this in a lot of the Kamen Rider shows, you know, where, you know, in let me think, like in Amazons, of course, there's a whole thing about,
yeah,
you know, food and eating what and eating. And Kabuto had a thing about food as well. And,
Agito, Blade.
Yeah, Agito, Blade.
Like, both of those, even part of Kuga, his uncle, yeah, owns a restaurant. Like, there's always, restaurants being at the core of a rider group is,
yeah,
pretty common.
Or, like, Snag Amigo, which Amit mentioned in the chat, from, like, the original Kamen Rider. Like, that was, which was, like, the go-to place for Hongo and Tachibana Tobe. And of course, even Gaim. Gaim had a lot. There's a lot to be said about Gaim, but one of the more interesting and cool things about it was kind of also its relation with food and how it's like, you know, the whole, like, how Coda becomes more and more inhuman by the end was defined by how he just cannot really enjoy, you know, eating or consuming the things he used to like.
I hate how clever,
yeah,
that,
like,
is. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's so good, and I'm so angry because that show doesn't deserve that. It doesn't deserve a marker that good.
One thing.
No.
On the other hand, well, we...
No, it can't.
Hey, well, on the other hand, we kind of have that in Amazon, so...
No, don't you even start me on Amazons. I keep seeing the diner posting their Amazons menu, and I lose my mind every time over the hamburger. That's rude and unfair. Mamoru's dish is the hamburger, and that's rude.
I think by rude you mean amazing.
No.
Betty? Yeah. Oh, let me think what else. But yeah, oh well, even Denno kind of had those weird, like, coffee cups.
Well, Denno took place in
exactly,
the dining car.
Exactly. You know, there's another food connection. Food.
And Milk Dipper. It took place in two different food places.
Two different coffee places, even.
Don't forget about Kiva as well, going back to the Café Moldemort.
Moldemort,
yeah. So there is a kind of this really interesting relation with food and how that's, like, that defines humanity. And I think that's a really nifty thing that we don't really see a whole lot in I don't think in much of anything, really, outside of, like, some other Japanese media. Like, in the West, that doesn't really exist in the West. So, yeah, I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah. Shwarma, Saracenian,
yeah,
shwarma.
Yeah, that one scene. Admittedly, pretty funny scene at the end of that Easter egg, but yeah.
Yeah, it was a nice callback.
Maybe that was the problem with Civil War. They didn't have shwarma in it.
Actually, that would have actually solved it.
Yeah. He tried making Russian food. Never mind. Okay.
Anyway, and not to get into a fight with Sono, because, like, I know I would not survive. I actually really dug the idea that after having the nonsense slapped out of him, Igor would wake up with some sort of love for humanity in his heart. Like, I'm not saying that.
No, I'm down with
understand.
That. If that was what it was, if that was how it was played, I'd be 800% down with that. But
that
is not what they were aiming for.
I don't know what they were aiming for. I know how I chose to take it. Because, like, him...
They were really invoking Akari. If you couple it with the line that Onari says to him, like, right before he dies...
Yeah, that line always felt like a non sequitur to me. Again, I understand where you're coming from, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying I have to do it this way, because that's actually beautiful, as opposed to creepy as hell.
I'm sorry, I'm Team Sono, and greatly disappointed for that fact.
That's fair. That's,
it's
you know.
I think it's
look,
there
look,
too, but what
I,
are you gonna
I
do?
Love
I'm not saying it's
what
not
you're
there, saying
about it. I love what you're saying about it, and I wish I could believe that. I wish that's what I could tell myself.
Yep. Okay, and then for all the practical person in me is like, dude, you can also wish for it to fix the city. That's it's infinite power. You're fine. But I actually kind of really like that that's them taking the whole faith in people thing to the next level and how that drives home this very Kamen Rider idea that what's important is not your stuff, it's human life. And then you marry that to Takaru's whole deal of humanity just possessing all that infinite potential. And just a sec, I got something in my eye. Anyway, what Sona was saying about the Gon Misers being all blah blah, human emotions are weakness, blah blah blah, was such a wonderful way to do the final conflict of the series. Because yeah, that's what this whole series has been about, and now he's just jump kicked it in the face, and it's beautiful. And I just want to plus one how great it is that Urasen is a big old kitty kitty.
Yep.
It's perfect. I don't know what that does for Urasonas, but,
Nope, everyone's a furry now.
It's gonna be a lot more yowling.
Yeah.
I think someone on the Tumblr said, on the sort of people that I follow said that I cannot believe that all the Urasonas that we were making, yeah, remember those? Yeah, I can't believe they were actually just fursonas all this time. We were actually just making...
Yep, you're all furries now.
We were all furries.
If Zuhodra didn't get you, Ghost
did.
Yep.
It's the year of the furries.
All the furries
the furry agenda.
Flicking the lights off and on. Welcome to hell, welcome to hell, welcome to hell.
I'm still hoping that Zuhodra would get that whole, like, weird influx of, like, furry fandom. Just like how Gaim got the influx of, like, the anime Urobuchi fans, which didn't really...
Yeah, but I don't want the Urobuchi fans here. That was a
yeah,
mistake.
Yeah, but the furries wouldn't.
Yeah, maybe that was the problem.
Furries are great people.
Yeah, they pay more... Yeah, they're...
Like, I'm not kidding, yeah. They are great people. I've known many in my lifetime, and they are some of the sweetest people I've ever known.
I mean, from what I've heard, they are the people who are most willing to actually pay for commissions at any page.
Oh god, they'll spend all the money
yeah,
on anything.
So
they will pay, like, actual going rates and not just Tumblr
yeah,
prices.
Yeah.
They're good people.
Good people with surprisingly a lot of expendable income.
Well, if you've got just one thing you're going after, I mean, you can focus it. So how about you, Cannibal? Did you have any favorite moments
that
this episode?
That Ryder kick was sweet. That was the best Ryder kick I've got. That was probably like, I don't know, that was probably like one of the best, it's like one of the best Ryder kicks in the franchise so far, like by far. Like it'll be like, if it's not in like the top, it's in the like the top three. It was really good. Like that was such a great, that's such a well made, just yeah. Like I really like, I liked how this show has done Ryder kicks, but that was like, that was the Ryder kick. Like if I'm gonna, like when I'm gonna think, about Ghost years from now, all I'm gonna think is that Ryder kick, man. That was so great. I hope we see more of those, you know, more of those later on or some point. Because man, we can never have enough of those, especially because you know how most modern Heisei riders don't really do Ryder kicks anymore. They just do weird weapon things.
Well, their feet are broken.
I mean, did Drive even do a Ryder kick in the end? Oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, that's 1 point. Well, that's 1 point for Drive.
They all have a Ryder kick. It's just utilized very differently.
I mean, like
in
the finale, like that was like the last attack. All right, good.
Yes.
Okay, good. Then pointers for Drive for at least having the good sense of doing that. Yeah, I don't remember if Gum had one though. Whatever.
I didn't get there, but probably most shows end with the Ryder kick.
I drew.
The Ryder kick is used for all big milestones in a show. That's how you can tell it's serious.
I drew a great picture of a monster. Well, he was always a monster, but Baron. Crucified on an orange slice with Gaim Ryder kicking through him. I think I used it for album art, or maybe it's in the show notes for that episode, but that's the only, that's the second best Ryder kick in all of history, I think, but anyway.
What else did I like? Well, the Extremer suit, which is the suit that the Great Eye was using, was really good. It was actually used in the movie, which you've probably seen the teasers of before. But yeah, it's really great to kind of see it in motion in the show too. Although I do not know, I'm not sure whether or not it's, you know, well used, is whether or not it's like whether it kind of makes sense that it's being used in this context, because I need to watch the movie. Which will probably have subs in like, I don't know, Nick.
I don't know. Like I'm pretty much willing to separate like the context of that movie from the context of the show and just be like, this is a thing that God did because God can do whatever it wants.
Yeah, I suppose you can think of it that way. What else? Extremer suit was very nice, and the ending was very nice with the food as we talked about, and yeah, I think you guys already went over all the things that need to be said. Although there is one thing that I just like when I talk. Okay, there's one thing that just came to my mind when we were talking about this, the Great Eye. So what was like the thing with the twins? I'm still a little confused about that. So.
God can turn itself into multiple people. God can do whatever it wants.
That's pretty much all there is to it, yeah.
Okay, so we see...
God sometimes wants to be
two
people.
Other twin, you know, on, like, the Great Eye dimension or whatever God... wherever God sort of resides in. And it's like... One of the twins is there, so is, like, the other one the one went bad, or is this, like...
No, they turn into one person.
Yeah,
they can turn back into one person.
So it's, like... Wait.
They combine. Sometimes they're two people, and sometimes they combine, and they're just the
okay.
girl.
All right. Okay. And
because it's God, and God can do whatever she wants.
By the way, I love how ludicrous this conversation is. It's okay. It's fantastic.
Yeah, just take it out of this context and just like random person. Like this is the weirdest theological debate I've ever heard. What is this religion
okay.
now?
Okay. Wait. Hold on. So wait. Okay. Fill me in. So on this. So. Takeru, Ryder kicked God, you know.
No, Takeru, Ryder kicked the God Miser that was possessing God.
Oh.
And then usurped the power of God to create.
The God Miser was basically doing with God what it had been doing with Adele last week.
Okay, okay, yes. Right. Okay, yes, I was a little confused over that. I forgot what happened.
It is Gnostic. Oh my gosh.
I've forgotten some of the details that happened in the last episode, so okay, yeah. Yeah, okay, no.
Yeah, and then Takeru kicked the God Misers out of God, and God was like, okay, thanks, what do you want? And he's like, save everyone. He's like, okay, so I'll do that as your wish, and then also for saving me, you get to be alive again.
Alright.
Now I'm gonna head off into space.
Where is he?
Because my planet needs me.
Where is he going? It's like,
into space. Probably gonna go hang out with Forze on the moon.
Well, it's gonna go hang out with Forze and Kota. Out in space and just be like,
no, it's gonna go eat Kota's planet.
Kota.
It's like, no, this doesn't get to be in my universe.
I think before then, it's gonna pass by the sun and taunt Phoenix
still
a little
there.
Bit.
Yeah.
Have a beer with Phoenix. There's hang out, you know, with Nadeshiko and Yuki on the space station. Have dinner. There's plenty of Rider people out in space. You got like. Billion Deca Ranger people out there too. Hang out with the Gokaigers because they're back
maybe
out there
can,
now. God's got places to go and people to
save. Finally save those people
sheriffs.
Stuck in like the Tachibana satellite in Forze.
Why would you bring that up? Why would you bring back my suffering?
Look, Tachibana. Never mind.
No, oh, they're gonna break out of cryostasis and just use the teleporter beam to rob grocery stores and just stay up there. None of them would want to come back to Earth. They hate everyone. It's Scorpio and Cancer up there. They're not gonna want to come back.
But yeah, also, a writer first. We finally have a god that isn't a dick for once.
I think this is
yeah, it's like what was the last like was Blades like the rock, the weird monolith, was that the last god in Kamen Rider? No, that was like I think the
I think Gaim had
Kota.
Some
yeah. Okay,
Kota's technically the last
Gaim,
one
only the devil. But the devil was a hero if you listen to some people,
and then the devil made guy.
I mean,
made Kota a god somehow.
Whatever. Okay, well, if we count that, then it's still like the Rider first.
It's still Kota's still not a great god.
No one's great in Gaim.
Though Mai was pretty okay. She's decent. She's an okay lady.
Only because she never showed up and was never written.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. And
yeah, but Lest we get ourselves going off on too many tangents, we gotta wrap this one up. So, quick bonus round, what do we see happening with Ghost in the future?
I think Takeru will go down as one of the greatest Kamen Riders in the series history, so.
Yeah.
Although I did see people griping about it on Twitter, but sorry, your opinion is invalid on this matter. Like, you're just wrong.
They can have their opinion. But I don't care.
Well, that too.
You know, for me, my one final thing, and I've been thinking about this since I first watched 49 last week, Adele got brought back too. We don't see it, but Takeru wished back everyone erased by the God Miser, and that would include Adele, because Takeru would want it to include Adele, because he's Takeru. Like, he would absolutely give Adele a second chance to, you know, rebuild his life with his family. And I'd be really into that. Like, I'd like Adele to work for his redemption instead of, you know, just getting it and then getting off the hook by being dead. Like, I'd like to have him come back and be committed to changing and acting for the benefit of the people he's supposed to be working for and having to really re-earn everyone's trust and being really into the idea of being like, no, I gotta work for this. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna be a good person now.
Maybe I want that for him. Maybe in the Kamen Rider Spectre movie that we are gonna definitely get. And, yeah.
Yeah. Look, I just want him to have to earn being redeemed after assimilating the, like, most of the planet.
It still kind of amuses me how it kind of ends in, like, this weird, like, Dragon Ball Z-esque resurrection scene after, like, so long ago when kind of a lot of the people in the fandom joked about Kamen Rider Ghost being kind of like Dragon Ball Z with, like, collecting the icons and then calling God to make a wish. It's pretty...
Alright, look, taken on pure plot level, just pure, like, list of things that happened, that is fair. Mm. That is legit.
I mean...
It's nonsense, but it's legit. Yeah.
I feel like this Kamen Rider Ghost handles death way better than Dragon Ball Z ever could. But then again,
similar thematic stuff is there because definitely everyone involved in Ghost has seen Dragon Ball.
Exactly.
Like, Dragon Ball is really culturally pervasive in Japan.
I think it's culturally
America.
And you know, Dragon Ball's source media.
Yeah. I think it's...
So, you know, I mean, of course it's gonna be influenced by that a little bit.
Everyone's watched...
Whether it does it intentionally
like
or not.
Everyone knows Dragon Ball. Even if you don't like Dragon Ball or never watched Dragon Ball in your life, you know Dragon Ball and how it works. It's kind of one of those things.
And, like, look, they also all really know Journey to the West.
Exactly.
Like, look, we're not gonna pretend.
Except maybe, like, well, I don't know, how...
Well, I mean, in Japan.
Yeah, I know, I'm just thinking, like, how...
Like,
how
I'm not...
invest the Western audiences? I think it's...
Not...
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm not talking about, like, people recognizing it. I'm talking about, like, being culturally pervasive enough to have affected the creative team on the show.
Definitely. So, globally speaking, Dragon Ball, my thoughts on Dragon Ball Z still stands in that everyone knows it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My last thought for this episode is I just mostly want this writer to come back and do another writer series, preferably one where they don't have to bail for a big chunk of the middle. How about you, Cannibal? Any last thoughts about what we have in store for Ghost?
We're gonna see this guy in so many superhero crossovers as, like, one of the Heisei guys.
That sounds like a pretty legit prophecy.
Yeah, because that is the thing that will always happen. They will always come back.
Yeah.
Blade managed to come back. Like, Rider Man came back.
Good, Blade deserves it. Blade
I know,
is great.
But it's like, they will always come back. It's like, they will always come back in all these future crossovers, and probably seeing as how, you know, with Ghost being like the one of the Neo Heisei writers, and it seems that mostly all of the sort of Neo Heisei writer, contemporary current writer things always tend to just kind of have only the Neo Heisei writers show up anymore, which kind of makes sense, because, you know, if you can't just, you know, there's, like, tens of other Heisei writers, and you can't just, like, have all of them show up, so you kind of have to focus on just the group after, like, the first milestone in Heisei era. So it's like, yeah, basically, we're gonna see this guy alongside Double and Forze and all that, again and again, and,
I'm okay with
probably
that.
Be voiced by a not very good replacement voice actor.
Oh, yeah. without a doubt.
Gonna say his catchphrase.
Yeah. I would just like
gonna
to
say
see
his catchphrase in like two notches deeper or higher than Takeru actually sounds, and he's gonna be in the background a lot, not say much, and
I would love to see him paired with Wizard and who's the other one? And Forze.
Yeah,
that'd
be
really
cool.
A neat combination.
Yeah, that would be ideal, but it would probably never happen because people who make those crossovers don't bother that much, I don't think. I'm kind of weighing this whole thing down, aren't I? Like,
that's all right.
A little bit.
It's fun sometimes to be a little like,
I'm not even I'm just like, that's gonna happen. I'm just making accurate predictions about this.
It's fun to be right. It's fun to be right. Well then, any other last minute thoughts before we close off this episode?
We should probably,
Don't say what.
I was gonna say, like, the post-mortem. We should...
That's gonna be next week.
Yep.
I assume.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Or maybe the week after, schedules are weird.
Yeah, we might want to talk about 50 alone.
I've
watched 50, and I think we can just do 50 in the post-mortem.
I feel like it's not gonna be, like, that, you know, deep.
No, I've watched it, and we can do it with the post-mortem. It's not a big deal.
Okay, well, everybody look forward to hearing the post-mortem, hopefully no more than a week after you hear this.
All right, then. So, for UncommonCast RX and the Toll Network, I'm Aleph.
And I'm Amit.
I'm Cannibal Saracenian from Wales now. I'm an art student at Wales.
Am I gonna get to say myself out, or you want to keep making noises?
Ooh, that was my last name.
And I'm Sono.